Hi, and welcome to SimCast, where we at Senior Insurance Marketing dive into all things insurance. We hope agents can utilize this as another tool to expand their knowledge and better assist their clients. Everyone, this is Todd Brow with Senior Insurance Marketing, and welcome to another edition of our SimCast. With me today is Brent DeGroot from One America. He is the regional account director with One America. Brent, welcome aboard to SimCast today.
Yes, thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate the ability to be here with you today.
Well, great to have you here on our podcast today. November is Long-Term Care Awareness Month, and that is pretty much what both you and I work with, and just kind of on different angles for you and different angles for me, but we work together. Long-term care, you know, there's standalone long-term cares, and there's what they call hybrid long-term care out there. And also just, you know, with the new legislation that's I think being proposed or passed, that they're going to require more individuals to staff at long-term care facilities, which is great. But also, you know, due to the labor shortage and everything like that, that's going to be an impact on, you know, as I see it, probably more individuals, the children taking care of their mom and dad at home, or, you know, maybe having home health care as well, too. So what's your thoughts on that, Brent?
It's interesting, Todd. Thank you for the question. You know, when you look at that, I just think that that's going to drive up costs, right? And when you've got a labor shortage, you know, you've got more demand than you have supply. So that certainly drives up costs in the long run. So I think it's key to have something in place to make sure that you've got, you know, at least a portion of that care covered. Yes, your family can be there and can support and do some care needs if and when available. However, it's very tough or difficult for most of them to take out, you know, completely quit their job or take lots of time off to provide that care. And that's why planning for long-term care is so important. And you mentioned, you know, Long-Term Care Awareness Month. I've spent 21 years of my career in long-term care. And so this is always a very important month. And what's interesting to me, at this time of year, we see, well, there's two times a year that we see the most claims start. And it's after Easter, so earlier in the year, and then after Thanksgiving. And if you think about probably why that is happening, it is because families are getting together and all of a sudden they start to notice maybe some issues with mom or dad or, you know, aunt or uncle, whatever the case may be. And that kind of care need really starts right then and there. So a great time to be planning or bringing up the aspect of planning for any long-term care events in the future if clients haven't already done so.
That's so true. And you know, you mentioned costs. You know, the cost varies, you know, for, you know, nursing home care, home health care, assisted living. And it varies, you know, with in a town and also state and also across the United States as well, too. And you have a calculator at One America that kind of helps people to know when planning for long-term care or, you know, care needs as an individual gets older, let me put it that way, that to kind of, you know, what the cost, average costs are now, and then what projected out, what, 5, 10, 15 years? Is that?
Yeah, up to 30 years on that. So It is really interesting. Yeah, our cost of care tool, thanks for mentioning that, is a wonderful tool out there to, you know, find out. You know, so let's say somebody's living here in Nebraska. We both happen to be in Nebraska.
Yep.
But yet they want to retire in Arizona, Florida, or something like that. That's kind of their plan, if you will. So it's probably incumbent on them to find out maybe what the costs of care are in those states, or do they plan on coming back to Nebraska or whatever state that they actually live in. you know, these are things to think about when working through any kind of planning aspect, just to know those costs. But yes, the best part about that whole cost of care calculator is the fact that you can see each and every state. You can break it down by geographic cities or regions within that particular state. You have the ability to see exactly what the different levels of the cost of that care is. So maybe it's just full-blown nursing home. Maybe it's assisted living facility. Maybe it's custodial care, just providing some of that care kind of at home. Maybe it's just plain home health care. So we break down really what the costs are, and it's typically an average, either by the state or by those cities or geographical regions within the state. And then, just like you said, we can project those costs out in the future. And it's really a timeline of anywhere from 1 to 30 years. And you can really kind of see exactly what those costs would be.
And so we're talking about this calculator. And if you want to get access to this calculator, feel free to give us a call here at Senior Insurance Marketing. Our number is 877-800-3080, or go to our website at www.simkt.com and email us through the website, or give us a call and say, hey, I wanted that calculator that Brent was talking about to project the long-term care, home health care, and assisted living projections costs. So it's a great tool, and it's free of charge. So give us a call or go onto our website and email us as well, too. So planning for long-term care. You know, we talked about long-term care, home health care, assisted living. So at One America, individuals that are, in the planning stages, when's the best time to buy long-term care policy or a hybrid policy at One America, and how can that benefit the individual by buying early?
Yeah, so that's a great question. My standard answer really to when is the best time to buy it? Well, it's about a month before you actually need it. but nobody has that crystal ball, right? So the earlier you start planning for this, the less expensive it will be as far as putting that, the cost for the plan that you're putting in place. So the more you wait, the costlier it's going to get. Now, whether you wait or whether you start early, there's a couple advantages and disadvantages to both. If you start early and then have an early claim of some standpoint, some factor, it's a good thing. You've got now a plan of care in place already, plus you're paying less for it upfront. Now, you can wait till later, and we've got many solutions that could do that as well, but you could lose your health, and then you could be ineligible for any type of coverage that is out there. So, cost is, I think when people look at planning for long-term care, many times they may look at the cost and say, oh, it's too expensive. Or that may just be, they're not really looking at the cost of what the insurance plan may be. They're more looking at what the costs are as if they're receiving care. And when you're looking to an insurance plan to mitigate some of those costs, now you're planning for, 20, 30 cents on the dollar, maybe even less than that, really depending on how much care you need. So it's really prudent for individuals to really kind of take this into consideration, because probably one of the largest detriments to any financial plan out there is an extended care event.
Mm-hmm. So with your plans, what's the earliest I can take out a hybrid policy?
Yeah, so that's a great question too, Todd. I appreciate that. So our plans typically will range from age 35, so as young as 35, up to age 80. Now that happens to be, we've got two chassis, if you will, here at One America. It's all asset-based, meaning the client would purchase an asset that is theirs. So it's their money. They can do with it what they want. They can walk away. They can tap into the cash value. But actually what they're going to do on the life chassis is access the death benefit for any long-term care needs in the future. So it's their asset. Now, what we also do is add a continuation of benefits rider, or we have the ability to add a continuation of benefits rider. So once they use their asset, that's when the catastrophic coverage is picked up by us here at One America through that rider. So that will continue that same income stream. And a differentiator between us and our competitors is the fact that we've got a lifetime continuation of benefits rider. And again, nobody has that crystal ball. Nobody knows when they're going to need care, you know, how long it's going to last, how much it's going to cost. So having that lifetime income specifically for those expenses really puts people's mind at ease, if you will, when they're planning for their long-term care in the future. So the cost of things can be so great in the future, and that's why it's such a detriment to any financial plan. And one of the biggest objections that we always run into, and it may not really even be an objection, it's just that they think that they've got enough money that they can take care of themselves. We call it the self-insuring kind of objection. And there's just a better way to do things. Yes, you can still self-insure, Mr. and Mrs. Client, but why not take a portion of your portfolio as it stands today, or create an ongoing premium as it stands today, and protect yourself in the future with, you know, 20 to 30 cents on the dollar. It just makes a lot more sense than waiting until they need care and pulling that out of their retirement portfolio or whatever their situation happens to be. A lot of things that can impact that, you know, a down market if they need to sell assets. You know, maybe they're taking it out of their retirement portfolio and the market has really tanked. You know, we've seen inferences of that over the last few years. The market is very volatile right now. So is now the best time to be, you know, taking out a large sum of money. So there's lots of aspects to think about. And when you have a good asset based plan, like we have here at One America in place, you really have that peace of mind to know that that income, and that's really what we're looking for here. Those expenditures that happen when somebody is on claim requires income to pay for that. And what the clients many times forget is that their financial plan was all earmarked for retirement, not necessarily for healthcare costs in the future. And what a good long-term care plan, again, like some of the asset-based plans that we have here at One America can do, is really provide the income for those expenses in the future.
So it can be a single premium. So if you have some qualified money or non-qualified money, or it could be a continuous premium that you would fund the policy with as well. And yeah, right. And also what you were saying too, so if you don't use the funds from the policy, or if you use, you know, a portion of them, then the balance will be then, how will the balance be distributed upon your passing then?
Yeah, another great question. And so I'm going to touch on a couple, both of those questions, really. So we do have ways that really when these asset-based type of planning options were introduced, largely was all single pay. And we have recognized over the 35 plus years that we've been doing this here at One America, that not everybody has that option to just reposition a fairly a larger sum of money, or just to move a big chunk in their savings, or whatever the case may be. So we have really created now what can be an annual pay, or even monthly if they so desire. So yes, we have the single pay, we have a 5-pay, we have a 10-pay, a 20-pay, a pay to age 95, which is kind of our annual pay. So those were you know, key aspects of what you mentioned earlier. It's not all just single pay anymore. And now, after that, Todd, I forgot what your other question was, so I apologize.
And I can't remember either. But it also kind of what you said, if you don't have the funds for a single pay, you know, there's other payment methods. But also, yeah, too, if you can't, you know, so if you're long-term care costs are like $10,000 a month. And with One America, you know, you've been funding it. But if you can, you know, get $5,000 out of it, you know, the policy, it's better than, you know, it's better having someone else like One America help fund that $10,000, I guess, is kind of what I'm saying, Brent. And, you know, so it's kind of like, yeah, you can have a full-fledged plan to cover, you know, the $10,000 or whatever the increasing price is. But if you don't have the funds, whether it be a single premium or continuous pay premium, at least you're having One America help you out with part of it, you know, is kind of what I'm saying. Is, and is that kind of what you're seeing into and recommending, Brent?
Yeah, Todd, you know, that, good point there. You know, when you're looking at the total cost of care, many times people, if you're trying to plan for that full need, many times people can get sticker shock and then just walk away and kind of you know, say, oh, I can't do anything. And so many times what we are finding is that people are maybe starting in the middle or, you know, somewhere along that. Typically, we're finding a $5,000 to $6,000 a month benefit for an individual that needs care. And what does that really care for? Largely, that amount doesn't change across the United States. What varies very widely is the cost for a nursing home or assisted living facility. But home care has remained fairly consistent across all of those states. So that $5,000 to $6,000 per person monthly benefit really is a great foundation and is covering today typically what those costs may be. Now, I will say that we've got inflation options that we can add to these types of policies as well. Some people call it COLA, cost of living adjustments. And so we've got a number of ways that we can do that, and we're seeing a fair amount of that as well. But what one of the things that you said really struck me, I have never had a client say, hey, thank you for sending me that check for $5,000, even though the bill was $10,000. You know, it didn't cover all my needs. They didn't say that. They were just very thankful that there was $5,000 coming to them each and every month of that care need that was around there. So family members aren't, you know, they understand that when somebody goes on care, there are other funds that are available. And I will mention this, you know, when a care need first arises, you know, they may have their Social Security, they may have their other retirement income, you know, their situation changes. They may not be taking vacations. They may not need a car anymore. There's ways that those expenses that were earmarked for retirement now become available for any extra care need that is out there as well. So a lot wrapped up into that answer there, Todd, but you know, it reminds me of something that you did say, that if somebody puts an asset-based plan in place, one of the biggest objections that we see from a traditional standpoint was the use it or lose it scenario. So what do I mean by that? Again, I've spent 21 years of my career in long-term care, 17 of them were with more the traditional side, never will badmouth them, never have anything bad to say about them. They're all good policies. However, one of the objections that we were raised a lot, well, what if I pay for years and years and years and never need the care? So now I pay for this insurance and never need it. I've just kind of thrown that money away. Well, I will say this. First and foremost, they had the peace of mind that they had a plan in place. In case they needed care, they had something there to really provide the income again for that, that expense. So that's a good thing. However, with the invention of these asset-based type of solutions, what happens is they're always going to get, a client is always going to get something for the premiums that they put in place for these solutions. And what do I mean by that? Like I said, we have two chassis, a life chassis. So if they don't use the full death benefits out of that life chassis, it gets passed on as a tax-free death benefit to their named beneficiaries. So it's a great way to pass on a legacy, if you will. Most clients want to leave a legacy to, whether it's to their children or a charity or something along those lines. So they're going to pass on a tax-free legacy to any beneficiary that they designate. So So that's on the life chassis. On the annuity chassis would be the account value. So anything that's left in the account value of that annuity would be passed on as well. Now, there may be some tax implications for that because annuities, as most people understand, will grow over time just because of the interest that we're adding to those annuities. So there may be some slight taxation, but again, they never have to worry about the use it or lose it scenario because they will always get something for the premiums that they do. We've had a longstanding phrase here at One America, live, quit, or die. No matter what situation happened out there, they would get something for those premiums. If they lived and needed care, obviously that's what the plan was put in place for. They've got the monies to provide those, provide the income for those expenses. If they decided to walk away, it's still their asset. They're purchasing an asset up front, and they can walk away at any time. Now they surrender their long-term care plan by doing so, but again, it's still their money. They have access to it at any point. And if they die and never need it, well, that's when that tax-free death benefit or the remaining cash value will be passed on. So it's another reason why we're seeing a lot of folks really look heavily at these asset-based solutions.
Well, and you know, and kind of what you described to me, just almost, it's more of a dual purpose type policy. Basically, it's, you know, there for the individual that's making the premium payments or the single premium payment. It's for them, for their care when they're living. And if, and when, you know, they pass away, you know, if they don't use it, then it's passed on to their loved ones. Or if they use part of it, the remaining balance, whatever's left, is passed on to their loved ones, which to me, it's kind of a peace of mind that, you know, hey, I've got something here that I can use it when I need it. But if, you know, when I pass on, you know, it goes to my loved ones and hopefully they will then take out a One America policy, just like I did, and reinvest it. And it's for their loved ones' needs when they need it. When that time comes, if they need long-term care, home health care as well, too. You know, it's kind of some statistics from the CDC, and this kind of a little dated here, but in 2018, there were 15,600 nursing homes, and number of licensed beds in 2018 was 1.7 million, and the number of residents in 2017 was 1.3 million. So that's a, if you look at those two, the 1.7 and 1.3, that's 400,000 that's empty. But probably, you know, as well as I do, you know, with the growing population of, you know, the individuals turning 65, what is it, 12,000 people turning 65 every day. And then in it grows every 2 years. And then it's 2030, there's going to be 32,000 people turning 65 every day. So I think probably, again, it's 2018 and 2017 numbers, but I probably would guess today it's more of a deficit than a surplus of beds is my guess when you.
I would agree. And really what I'll call it is the age wave comes or cometh, if you will, using some older language.
Yep.
But as the age wave cometh, because those baby boomers are turning 65, you know, and just under almost 3 years now, just a little over 3 years, the first boomer will be turning 80. So what's interesting about that is the average time or span, if you will, when people start to need care is typically between 80 and 85. So again, it comes back to our supply and demand situation that we talked about earlier. So if we've got all of these boomers now reaching the age of 80 and, you know, using your statistics there, that is 12,000 every day, once we reach that point again and growing, you know, what is that going to do to the actual supply of those caregivers out there? Certainly it can drive costs, and that's why it's incumbent really on those individuals out there to do their planning today. And sadly, you know, us as consumers, many times we don't necessarily know we need to plan for this. I'll think about that tomorrow. So yeah. It's our job as advisors, as insurance professionals, to make sure that we're talking to our clients about that. Now, that may be just a, hey, let me give you some information. Let's take a look at the cost of care with One America's cost of care survey. Lots of ways that we can just, let me provide you with some third-party material that's out there. Here's some Alzheimer's statistics and that sort of thing. So it can really be just approaching that subject, broaching that up front to plant that seed. It may not be a full-blown, hey, let's just get together and plan for your long-term care, but at least plant that seed up front so it starts percolating in the clients' minds.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And it's kind of what you'd said kind of in my thinking is kind of like this along the lines of planning for your funeral. No one wants to do that, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't need long-term care. I'm going to live forever. And that, what we don't know. I mean, we don't have the crystal ball. And again, you know, or, you know, if you have someone that passes away, you think of, well, I need maybe final expense, or someone that goes into a nursing home or passes away, you know, oh, maybe I should need nursing or, you know, some type of long-term care coverage. And that it's kind of like, when you experience it in your life from friends, relatives, or whatever, then that's what you think about it. So, but again, it's kind of like, you know, for as insurance professionals, you know, it's not the easiest conversation. People don't like to talk about that. They would rather talk about the weather and, hey, it's going to snow and be 20 degrees below or whatever, you know, but it's just kind of, I think, like you said, continuously planting that seed, keeping that up, that topic on the forefront of the individuals to go like, you know, I really need to do that, you know, call, you know, their insurance professionals and you know, take a look at, you know, One America and what they have to offer to see, you know, what fits your needs as well too. And seriously, you know, there's, you know, we talk about, and I don't know how many was it, 1.7 trillion or something like that, assets are going to be passed on to the loved ones. Well, what a better opportunity to put that into a One America policy. And, you know, hey, if you need it, it's there. But if you don't, like we talked about before, it passes on to your loved ones as well too. So it's a win-win. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Todd, you said something there, and if I could just expand on that really quickly, you know, we've got a lot of ways that we can fund these types of opportunities as well. Yes, it could be a repositioning of the portfolio. It could be just creating a new income stream, but many consumers especially don't know, many advisors don't know this as well, but we can actually take a qualified form of money, so qualified funds, and we've got a really good, one and done solution, a direct transfer, trustee to trustee transfer from whatever qualified source they have their funds in, a 401k, an IRA, a 403b, you know, whatever that qualified source may be. But we can use qualified funds to put a really nice plan of care in place for those individuals. We give it a 25% bonus right off the top. So whatever they transfer over, 25% bonus goes to that. Then we use that total amount and break it down for a 10-pay whole life chassis, if you will, base policy, plus that COB rider that I had talked about. And what's interesting in, again, a way that we differentiate ourselves from some of our competitors is the fact that we can put two people on one policy. So if you've got spouses or, you know, whatever common law, whatever the state happens to recognize as spouses out there, same-sex marriages, that sort of thing, we can put both of those people under one policy and access that same death benefit in that particular situation and be covered by that continuation of benefits rider. And again, we can go up to a lifetime. So when you're putting two people on one policy and adding the lifetime benefit rider, it really gives them the peace of mind that they need, that they're always going to have an income stream specifically for any extended care expenses.
So you mentioned lifetime. What's that about?
So it's interesting. Just this morning, I was reading an email from a colleague of mine, and he had had an interesting conversation yesterday and just kind of passed it along to us. And, you know, many times you can plan for the average, right? So if we're looking at the averages, 2.3 years for men, 3.7 for women. What's really interesting about that fact is that that is taking in only the amount of time that was needed while they were in some sort of facility, a way that we can capture those numbers, if you will. What that doesn't take into account is any custodial care that their family happened to be giving to them, how long they may have been receiving care prior to entering a facility. So that's just the average, again, of true facility care. So if we're planning for the average, the analogy that he used is, okay, so we can plan for the average. Say you have a 5-year plan, right? So that should cover the average need for anybody out there if it's a 5-year plan. Well, if you're only going to plan for the average, it's like buying a car and saying that it's only going to start 80% of the time. Why do you say that? Well, here, when does it not start? So yeah, I'll take my chances. 80% is a pretty good number, but when is that time that car never starts? It's always at an inopportune time. You're always planning to do something, and that's why you're getting in the car. So would you rather have something that you knew was going to be there 100% of the time, or that car was going to start 100% of the time versus 80%? And that's where that lifetime benefit comes in, because you're not going to run out of those benefits. There's always going to be that dedicated income stream, as long as one, or if you've got a couple in that case, as long as either one of them would need benefits.
Speaking of benefits, so when does the benefits trigger?
So that's a great question as well. It's just like any other traditional long-term care plan out there. It's deficiencies in two of six activities of daily living, ADLs, as you may have heard them referred to in the past. So deficiencies in two of those six ADLs, activities of daily living, or a severe cognitive impairment, and it's all meant to last 90 days or longer. So a doctor must certify that care is going to be needed 90 days or longer. If you think about that, anything less than 90 days is acute care. There are many advisors, insurance professionals out there that think, well, they've got a Medicare sub plan and that's going to provide any care need that they've got. Well, no, what med subs do is bring them back to normal health. It's for acute care, something less than 90 days, whereas a chronic condition is going to be 90 days or longer. So that's kind of your true definition of what long-term care is. Again, deficiencies in two of six ADLs, severe cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's, dementia, and it must be lasting 90 days or longer.
So going back to your average, 2.3, 3.7, I've always heard those averages, but I never have put it to the fact that, you know, when they got to the nursing home, how much care was done prior to that? So actually, you could add probably another, on average, probably another, who knows, 2 or 3 years more to those averages. So it'd be 5.7 and 4 years that, actually they needed care. So that's a good point, because that's we don't know what happened, Todd, before that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Todd. You know, and if I would look at that in another way, it's do they have a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset? Meaning, if I've got a lifetime benefit, right, you know that there's going to be benefits that will last as long as I ever need them. That's an abundance mindset. So you say, well, hey, as soon as that care need arises, I'm going to start that plan, because why not? I've got it so it'll last the rest of my life or as long as I would ever need care. Whereas a scarcity mindset says, okay, well, let's hold off. I don't know if the care is really that significant at this point. We want to wait. And the problem with that is many times that care can be exponentially grow over that time period if they're not looking to get the amount of care that they need by that scarcity mindset. So Again, just another way of looking at lifetime versus more of an average plan.
Yeah. And kind of what you said, just come to our last, the quality of care too. Yeah. You know, that's the thing, you know, that could be, you know, the longevity of the individual as well too. So awesome. So cool. Well, hey, Brent, as always, thanks for talking to us today. And, you know, give us a call here at Senior Insurance Marketing, 877-800-3080. Or go to our website at simkt.com. Ask for the calculator to see what the costs are for long-term care, assisted living, home health care in your area. It's just a link that we'll email out to you. And also, you know, give us a call and we'll be happy to connect you with one of our agents to talk to you more about One America and to see what fits for you and what you qualify for with One America as well too. So it's a great topic. You know, I know we can talk on and on, and hey, Brett, we'll probably have you back again as well too. But again, I think it's great information, and it's something, yeah, it's not a conversation we always want to talk about all the time, but I think it's a conversation that kind of needs to be in the forefront of to, you know, plan down the future. Because I, you know, I've seen individuals that have $500,000, $700,000, you know, to their name, and I've seen that all gone to zero very quickly with you know, the care that they needed due to their health situation as well too. So, and again, that's where One America comes in and can help plan for the future and also, you know, hopefully pass on money to your loved ones as well too, so it's all not used. So good. Well, again, we're talking with Brent DeGroot with One America, the regional account director. And Brent, thanks again for coming on to our podcast today. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Todd, and the Senior Insurance Marketing for having me today. And remember, it is Long-Term Care Awareness Month here in November, and so great time to be talking with your clients about planning for any long-term care in the future.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to tune in next time as we make this senior insurance market simplified.